Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministry.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministry.
Yes, Angela, how are you doing?
You know, just taking it a time. We still have more sick kids. I feel like every week for the last month I've come on the show and said, my kids are sick with such and such an illness. And here we go again. It's just another round of that. It's a very Lenty Lent already. Septuagesima is Lent, but very Lenty. And now we're still very Lenty. So,
well, welcome to Lent.
Welcome to Lent. I'm like reading through A Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus just going, yeah.
I love it. Very good. Well, hey, we got a lot of stuff to cover today and some really super important stuff for people in the Twin Cities, especially to know of and to be a part of. And so we'll get the upcoming events out of the way and then jump right into that real important news. First of all, 40 Days for Life Twin Cities is underway. It started Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. We did a 3 p.m. in the snowstorm. Still had about 25 people or so show up in that terrible weather. And a person was standing across the street from us videoing and taking photos who never even tried to talk to us or anything. And then we saw what he posted on social media attacking us.
No.
So it was like, okay, all right. And then with this 40 Days for Life Twin Cities, if the vigil is at Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, the same place we're going to have our Good Friday prayer vigil. So it's the same location. It's been there ever since they opened up in this location. And the last 7 days of this is the Jericho March. So you got heads up on that. So this goes from February 18th, March 28th is the 40 Days for Life. And come out anytime, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to keep time of prayer out there. It's so important to be there in prayer. It has a great impact. It saves lives. It helps bolster and embolden the sidewalk counselors who are reaching out to the women and the men. And it also, I believe, has caused some people to leave Planned Parenthood from working there. So come on and join us on the sidewalks. And then, of course, right after the 40 Days for Life is our Good Friday prayer vigil, the solemn Good Friday vigil, which is on April 3rd. And I've already got the Archbishop lined up to do us an opening prayer. I've got four or five other pastors already confirmed, including, I think, Father Kazel this year. And let's see, Father Shovlin.
I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, there's a couple. Father Shovlin's going to be out there as well. So we've got some people lined up. John Piper, if you know those circles,
yes,
will be there. Dr. John Piper. So looking and excited about that. All that's going on right now. Here's a big announcement. The big news everybody needs to listen to, really, really pay attention to and pray about. The Minnesota Senate has a committee that is going to be hearing the so-called Equal Rights Amendment on Monday, the 12:30 in committee hearing, Monday. So two things you need to do. Three things you need to do. First one is the most important. Pray that this thing dies and dies fast in this state legislature. The Equal Rights Amendment would enshrine in our state constitution abortion on demand throughout the entirety of pregnancy. It also does not have protections for age, conscience, religious liberty, and even removes protection for creed. These things were in previous versions, not even there anymore. So under the pretense of so-called rights, equal rights, this is really a constitutional amendment effort to make abortion our state constitution, in our state constitution, and we just don't need that. So pray. Second thing is if you're able to get to the Capitol on February 23rd, Monday, there's going to be a bit of a time of demonstration against the bill that MCCL has put together. And again, the hearing starts at 12:30 p.m. And so go to the Capitol, be there, and be a part of that if you're able to get there. Third thing is contact your state senators now and tell them no on this stuff. Tell them no. And you can also do it with your state representatives as well. Tell them absolutely not to this ERA. So those are the three things I think everyone needs to, you know, two of them you can, everybody can do. The third one is whether you can get away from work or whatever and be present at the state capitol. But come and be there if you can. It's going to be very important. So, all right. Now back to the rest of the news out there. So 40 Days for Life began this past Ash Wednesday, and the international campaign, Angela, get this, 661 cities, mostly in the United States, but around the world.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So very good. And of course, that's what we're a part of when we're out there. I mentioned our opening on Ash Wednesday with the people out there praying and singing, and no interruptions and no disruptions from pro-abortion people. Just a good time before God. So that went very well. And then we've got a couple babies saved. One at Whole Woman's, which is in Bloomington. We had that baby saved a week ago Saturday. And then Orlando, we had one in the Central Florida area as well. So a couple more documented babies saved. So the numbers are already growing in the first beginning of this year.
It's always good news for sure.
Yeah. Praise God. And then also out of Orlando, the Central Florida area, a suburb of it, of Orlando is Lakeland. And it's just the next county over. It's just an outer ring suburb area. And there has been a Planned Parenthood satellite location at in Lakeland since 1970. And they're closing in March.
Wow.
Yes, they're closing. Now, add to the fact that Planned Parenthood had actually opened an abortion facility also in another suburb of Orlando, which closed a year and a half ago, I believe. So there's two of them that have closed now. There still is one remaining Planned Parenthood in Orlando itself and one in Kissimmee, Florida, which is also pretty much in our Central Florida office area. So those are still there, but they're closing. Praise God, they're closing.
That is so amazing.
All right, so here's a fun story. The Heartbeat International, which is the organization, they're an overriding organization for pregnancy help centers. Actually, I think we talked about them where they got to, was it 3,000 centers that they represent across the United States now? I think that was the story. It was either 2,000 or 3,000, just a significant number. Well, now they're announcing that their abortion pill rescue network, which is the abortion pill reversal, where once the abortion pill is taken, the first medication, before the second one is taken, this reversal process can be done and save the baby's life. And they are announcing more than 8,000 lives have been saved through this abortion pill rescue network.
That is just so amazing.
Yeah. Now, they're not the only ones doing it. They're the big ones doing it. And this is, of course, the largest number and the most collected data is through Heartbeat International on this. But so there are more. There are more. And it's just amazing. Just amazing. Now, we've been talking about the FDA and its failure to actually do what they said they were going to do. You know, we had announcements going back almost a year ago saying, the safety protocols are going to be reviewed. We're going to relook at all this. We're going to go through it all and all over again. And finally, after Congress people have gotten involved, after regular citizens have been all over the FDA for this, the FDA is now announcing that it has plans for the pill safety review and it to be completed within a year or sooner.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. I find it interesting that they've been dragging their feet for so long.
Well, and it's not just that they've been dragging their feet. They're, you know, in this meantime, we've also had another abortion pill company allowed to start manufacturing the abortion pill. So it's like the third one was allowed during this period of time with what seemed to be a bit of a poor excuse for why they wanted allowed it to go forward. So But it's happening. At least they're announcing they're doing it. We'll see what happens with it. So, and I know we've talked about the fact that Louisiana filed a lawsuit in 2025 against the FDA over the changes in the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, the REMS, for the abortion pill, the drug mifepristone and its generic versions. And so they brought the lawsuit against the FDA because of those, the just lifting the safeguards for women. This is not safeguards for babies. Let's not get this wrong. We're not talking about the babies at all here because it's intended to kill the babies. This is an abortion, right? So that's why abortion pill reversal is such an important thing, because that does save babies' lives. But there's a lot of harm that's coming to women. And I think we've got one very clear study out there that's showing that there at least 10% of the women who take the abortion pill end up with a serious to major complication, including needing to go to the emergency room.
Yeah,
that's off the charts, horrible, right? And so Louisiana sued over that, as well as the mail order side of it and the telehealth side of it and all that stuff that was lifted when the changes came under the Biden administration in 2023. Well, now 21 states have filed an amicus brief in support of Louisiana's lawsuit, and 60 U.S. Congress people have signed on. I think the lawmakers are 20 senators and 40 representatives from the House of Representatives filing an amicus brief. And that's a separate amicus brief. And what I like about the second one, even more than the first one, both are good, but even more than the first one, is that the lawmakers, the federal lawmakers, are citing the Comstock Act in their amicus brief and
they
bringing that to the attention of the courts, because Comstock makes it illegal for the abortion pill to be even distributed to any other state, let alone mail ordered to individuals. So we hope and we pray that something good comes out of this lawsuit. Maybe even something good out of the FDA review.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, well, the Guttmacher Institute, which is basically an arm of Planned Parenthood. I know they've separated years ago technically, but it was started by Planned Parenthood. It used to be a special affiliate of Planned Parenthood. Alan Guttmacher, whom it's named for, was a president of Planned Parenthood Federation, the second president right after Margaret Sanger. So this is a deeply pro-abortion organization.
He was also the vice president, I believe, of the American Eugenics Society.
Well, of course, because Margaret Sanger was in the American Eugenics Society.
Yes, it's so wild. Yeah,
that's where they all came out of. So
yeah.
Well, the Guttmacher Institute is claiming new data shows that there is a 2% decrease in the number of abortion facilities, locations, in pro-abortion states in 2025 over 2024. They're stating that 51 abortion facilities that were open in March of 2024 were no longer open in December 2025. Isn't that cool? So it's very, very significant to see that number going down. Now, of course, in pro-life states where abortion has been either strictly constricted or has been outlawed almost entirely, abortion facilities closed left and right. So,
yeah,
always good to see that. A few state things going on. Alaska, they have a bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe and distribute abortion pills. There you go. Pharmacists. So now we're not even pretending to do medical examinations of the women.
Yeah, no.
If this one happens.
Yeah.
In Maryland, their state senate passed a bill to force doctors to be involved and to commit abortions. They cited a federal law, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which was signed into law for the purpose of treating pregnant women and their unborn babies in emergency rooms when needed, so that they would not be sent away from an emergency room when treatment was necessary for them. It says nothing about abortion in this act. the Biden administration decided to pervert the thing and claim that it included abortion. So Maryland is kind of standing on that concept and is requiring that physicians, even against their own conscience, against their deeply held beliefs, would be required, if they're working in an emergency room, to commit abortions directly. Now, this is what happens with this concept, is that women, instead of going to an abortion facility, freestanding abortion facility, or going and getting the abortion pill wherever they might get it, they just go to the emergency room.
Right.
And yep. force them to have their abortions there. So, yuck. In New Mexico, their Senate committee is advancing a bill requiring insurance companies to pay the full cost of elective abortion. Again, this concept in pro-abortion states of not only allowing abortion, but forcing it on people and expanding it by paying for and so forth. But in Oregon, we got a little bit of good news. In a state that is not a place where we normally hear good news on the pro-life front, they have a pro-abortion equal rights for all amendment. They've got an initiative petition going forward to put that on the ballot in their state. Again, a state constitutional ballot measure. They don't call it equal rights amendment like we do, but it's called the equal rights for all in Oregon. And there was a group that's pulled together, pro-abortion group of that came together to put this thing forward, which included the big guys, Planned Parenthood. Well, Planned Parenthood has announced they will not continue its efforts on this. No explanation.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they've just withdrawn from it. So, Mississippi House has passed a bill that would outlaw mail order abortion pills. Let's see, FDA is not doing it. They're doing it. In Lynchburg, Virginia, the city council voted in favor of a zoning ordinance that would prohibit an abortion facility to be within 100 feet of a school, a church, or a neighborhood. Not bad. Not bad. There's some things about it with the Family Planning Services side that was not included, which means a Planned Parenthood non-abortion facility could be within those areas, which is not good because all they do is they're feeder clinic.
They are for the purpose.
Sending the women on for that purpose. And then in South Carolina, the body of what's believed to have been a preborn baby, somewhere between 13 and 15 weeks gestation, was found on February 13th by workers at a water treatment sewage plant in Sumter County, South Carolina.
Oh, so sad.
Okay, we don't hear this news very often.
No.
Because the workers don't always make big noise about it, but it does happen in a lot of locations around the country, especially because of the abortion pill. The babies are smaller and younger than 13 to 15 weeks, usually 6 to 8 or 9 weeks, that are in our water treatment plants that they have to clean out. But this one, they're saying that the baby died somewhere between 13 and 15 weeks. An autopsy was carried out, as is required by law. Tissue sample was taken for DNA testing, trying to figure out how to identify the body and who the parents might have been. But then the pro-abortion groups out there, the pro-abortion activists, are upset that an investigation was done and an autopsy was done and all this other stuff. Their argument? It's a fetus, not a human being. Duh. What a strange concept. it's a human fetus, not a human being. So I don't know how you get to that conclusion, since they're the ones that kept telling us to follow the science for other things. They can't follow the easiest science there is in the world. So it's a human being. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if they find out anything from this. Now, we've talked about the University of Notre Dame coming under fire for appointing a pro-abortion activist to a directory a director of the university's Asian Studies Institute.
Is this the first? I don't think this is the first time that Notre Dame has done something of this nature.
Well, this is the first time they put a pro-abortion professor in such a high-profile position as a director. Okay. So the bishop of the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, which is where Notre Dame is located, this is Bishop Kevin Rhodes, had a strong statement against it, saying that this is causing scandal to the faithful in our diocese. Okay. And then he got support from other bishops started coming in, including the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has now spoke up, Archbishop Samuel Aquila of Denver, and also our own here in Minnesota, Bishop Robert Barron, have spoken very strongly against this. They're all demanding that this woman, her name is Susan Osterman, be removed from this position. I still think they're still lacking what should be called for this person.
I agree.
They want her to leave the position as director. I don't think she should be allowed to work at the university at all.
Oh, I go a step further and say she needs to publicly repent. And,
well, of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like sometimes it's easy to lose sight of like what the ultimate is. Yes, we want to avoid scandal, but also these shepherds would be doing a lot of good for her soul if they said, you need to go to confession and repent. You are not aligned with the church here. You are being obstinate and defiant. You cannot receive Holy Communion until you are rightly ordered here. I think our shepherds are, we need to be caring for their souls as much as we are anything else.
Absolutely.
If not more Absolutely. So.
That's the first order of business for all the bishops, right? Is to care for our souls and the souls of all. So, yes. And the statements coming out of this woman's mouth in her pro-abortion positions are just absolutely horrendous. This is her claims that the pro-life position has its roots in white supremacy and racism.
I love that one. After we just got done mentioning how Margaret Sanger and Alan Guttmacher were on, American Eugenic Society and all these things. It's so crazy.
And how they spoke of human weeds and African American brothers and sisters and so forth, and we're the ones being called racist and misogynist and so forth. And then, of course, she attacks pro-life pregnancy resource centers as being deceptive anti-abortion propaganda sites.
Oh, give me a break.
Which harm women and so forth and so forth. So, yes, pray for her. Pray for her soul. Pray for her conversion. She needs to be let go from the university unless or until she repents, as you said.
Yeah.
That's of course, is the ultimate. And you know, there's another side to it a little bit, too. As you mentioned, University of Notre Dame's kind of fire before for doing things with pro-abortion people over the years, directly contradictory to the most basic of Catholic teachings. I think the university needs to repent.
Yep.
However that would happen.
I will say it's tough because even on the Pontifical Academy for Life, they're hosting Mariana, what is her name? Mazzucato or something. She's like an economist and she's pro-abortion and she's Catholic and they're hosting her at the Pontifical Academy for Life to come and talk about things like universal health care and things. And she's been appointed positions on the Pontifical Academy in the past. So, you know, it's just a tough landscape right now. There's a lot of confusion, I think.
Well, to have somebody who is acting and living contrary to Catholic faith to come and talk about a subject other than those areas can be helpful. And it's okay because it leaves room for that dialogue to exist, right? I mean, how do we help somebody turn away from their wrong thought and their wrong behavior without talking to them?
Yeah, so we can't.
Being assigned to or becoming a part of it is where the issue rises beyond where it should be, in my opinion. So
that's when it becomes a scandal. Yeah.
Well, we have a little girl that was born in Texas with spina bifida. But she's doing great. she had her surgery while she was still in her mother's womb. I love that. And I know we have that happening out of Rochester and a couple other places around Minnesota as well. In fact, I think many years ago, we actually had a surgeon who was advancing these things early on come on the show and talk about it. The fact that they're doing surgery on preborn babies so that they are healthier when they are born, instead of waiting until they're born at that point. So just an amazing thing that we're able to do now. All the more reason to support life. I can't see why we don't in it all the more in that sense. Well, there is a comedian who her name is Emma Estrada, and she has joked about her abortion. She's made jokes about her abortion. She even made the joke to the father of the baby she aborted when she informed him that she was pregnant and that she was going to go have an abortion. So she has done that in her career. But now she's come out in a column that was in the Los Angeles Times, where she is questioning her abortion. She said, "I chose my comedy career over motherhood. I wonder if I got it wrong." And then she goes on to talk even more stuff about this, and just this deeply moving stuff about that she's now starting to rethink whether she should have ever had an abortion in the first place. And that may be the very first steps toward getting the healing she needs and the repentance she needs to go through, and finding the forgiveness in Christ that is necessary after having done this. But keep her in prayer as well. That's very, very important.
I'm reading the article, and it is heart-wrenching. I think she sees her callousness regarding the whole situation, and she even talks pretty at length about how the dad had absolutely no say in this process.
Of course.
And that stood out to her in hindsight. It's just a very insightful read, I guess.
Yeah. When the father wants the baby to be, he is completely closed out. Yeah. If the father wants to press and push the woman to have the abortion, then he becomes the main factor.
Yep.
It's, again, this is that idiocy of this whole subject that we deal with on a regular basis. I got to tell you, Angela, so I'm out cyber counseling. Oftentimes, the clinic escorts, as they call themselves, that are out there are older women.
Yeah.
And many of them have had abortions.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who has and who hasn't, but I use that as an opportunity to try and talk to these women these women about Christ and about conversion and a little evangelization. And I start with, if you're here because you had an abortion, there's hope and help available. And I like to throw out little tidbits that I've heard from post-abortive women that I'm told that almost every woman who's post-abortive thinks about, like the date she had her abortion, the date the baby was supposed to be born, and then talk about how there's a remedy to this, that there is healing available, that they can turn to God and be set free and know joy again and things like that. So, that is just a reality of abortion out there. Maybe one last quick story here. Planned Parenthood affiliate out of Massachusetts has decided to call men people who carry sperm. There we go. Can't call them men anymore.
Degrading.
Can't call them men anymore. That's the way it is. Hey, again, 40 Days for Life. Get out there and pray. The Senate committee hearing on Monday at 12:30. Be there if you can. If you can't, whether you can be there or not, pray. Thank you, and God bless you.